podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap, Neil Atkinson with Paul Senior, John Gibbons and Rob Gutman after Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0. A hugely frustrating afternoon at Anfield and wherever it was that you watched it. And it was frustrating, Paul. Ultimately, Liverpool have come away and it feels very much like 2 points dropped. I thought both halves were frustrating in different ways. Everything but the goal first half, and then the game absolutely ebbs away from Liverpool second.
It's frustrating is probably the word that will be used most on the show, I'd imagine. I'm at a point where I'm feeling pretty exhausted with it now, and I think when you're in the ground, you can sort of spend that sort of frustration and start shouting, scream, and get all your frustrations out. Whereas when you're sat at home and you've got a five-year-old, a two-year-old, and a one-year-old in the next room, you can't quite use the language you want to use. But yeah, there's problems there, I think, and you know, it is caused by the injury crisis. I'm not saying Liverpool. I think the biggest caveat I can start the show with for everything else I'm going to say is going to be that I'm not being short-sighted here, but I think there could have been things done that would have prevented this, because I could see this coming in the summer. I'm sure the manager had some concerns that he was taking a gamble with the depth in certain positions coming into the season, and I think it's biting them in the arse a little bit.
Do you think that was the case yesterday? Because yesterday was the fit, like, I had all those mitigating circumstances in my head for West Brom. I think they really struggle after Matip goes off and their heads go a little bit, to be honest. I think Newcastle, they're concerned about what's behind them, and the they're not taking many chances. I think Southampton, it's all a bit makeshift with Henderson back there to try to offset it and move the ball faster. I think with United, I don't think the front three have got those excuses. They get loads of the ball around their penalty area in decent areas, and they get good opportunities. I for me, there's no hiding places on this one. I think there have been hiding places before, but not today.
Don't get me wrong. They're going to come in for some flack as well.
you just wait.
I honestly think it's a collective... A collective thing that's been caused by the one glaring issue we've got. So the fullbacks are out of form because of that. I would say the midfield is now disjointed because of that. Because your two best midfielders are playing centre half, the whole other thing isn't working. And we're four games without a win. When was lost? Has that ever been the case in the Jurgen Klopp? The front three, yet to get some chances there yesterday, but it's not. Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino, and Mo Salah missed chances galore. As it is, if you know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're the most clinical front three in world football, but they're the best front three, but they're certainly not the most clinical. I would say that the whole thing, the full backs being out the game pretty much because they're worrying about two central midfielders playing centre half is really a problem. There's tons of problems all over the pitch, but you know, I'll save my best stuff for an hour rather than 5 minutes.
I think Paul's far too sound towards that front three there, Rob, to be honest with you. Looking at the game at the time and watching bits of it back, I feel as though Liverpool, for an hour, and I want to talk about the last half an hour, but for an hour, Liverpool get around the Manchester United penalty area and have, I think, more than enough opportunities and opportunities to create opportunities from the front three. And I don't think any of the three of them plays at all well on the night. I think Firmino is the biggest glaring issue, but I think that it isn't as though Mane and Salah were more than making up for him.
No, it's not their finest hour. I came out of the game, as I think most of us did, just, you know, as Paul said, we'll use the word time and time again, hugely frustrated. And my first instincts were to vent about Bobby Firmino. Having watched it back, you go, yes, he definitely needs to do better on a number of key occasions. But as this is all relative, I suppose, but compared to his form, say a month ago or 6 weeks ago, when we were seriously worried about his lack of goal output before he sort of had a brief flurry, at that point he wasn't getting anywhere near the goal. He wasn't getting shots away. I was quite heartened to see that he was at least, you know, I wouldn't quite go as far as say he could have come off that pitch with a hat-trick, but he sort of puts himself in position to say that's not the wildest shout. His finishing, of course, is woeful. His decision-making in a couple of moments is woeful. he is doing bits. He is putting himself about in a certain sense, although he feels the guiltiest of the three. I think he's the least guilty. Salah's decision making, he wants to beat four men, and we're seeing a bit of that too often at times, rather than just pop it off and look for the 1-2. I'm not seeing him looking for 1-2s. I'm not seeing him being cute enough with his movement for my liking anymore. It feels like, just give me the ball, I'm Mo Salah. But against low blocks, that's not such a straightforward proposition. Sadio, when he's not playing well, he contributes because he always makes it sticky. He gets the ball under his control in improbable situations. There's a moment in the first half where he somehow emerges from it when three men are just trying to take him out, and it's world class, breathtaking, and it's a little thing in itself. But again, a bit like Mo, I'm not seeing where he was getting his shots away, where he was quite in the position to get shots away. I think there's a couple of things at play there. They're struggling a little bit with the confidence that the whole team is lacking after four games without a win, or at the kick-off time, it's quite a number of minutes without a goal. And I also think nine days away from first team action takes the edge off. It just does. In Jurgen Klopp's history, it always has. And I know they've worked on that in these past 9 days and played more intense first 11 against 11 training games, but it takes a bit off. I'm not going to say I'm hugely worried about the front three. I think the only thing the injury crisis plays into is you don't have a fantastic sub like Yuen Shaqiri coming off the bench, because we needed to start him, really. Not definitely needed to, we did sort of. We don't have Shaqiri and Jota to come off the bench, which could have made a massive difference. And that plays into how we're perceiving the front three, because we got to watch them tire. And maybe that's harsh in our assessment of them in that context.
Is that harsh? I think for me, they've got a very specific role, and I take Rob's point about a lot of some good work that's done away from the penalty area, but the key part of this is the penalty area. They've been getting in the penalty area, and there's no excuse there for me yesterday. They're in the penalty area, they're around the penalty area, there should be more going on.
I think for me that the biggest concern I've got is that our best attacking performances this season have come when it's not been the three of them. So you think of our best performance attacking wise of the last couple of months, it's Palace, isn't it, away where Minamino starts, and then before that you look at it, is it Ajax away where you've obviously got Jota in there, and
Atlanta away.
Yeah, so I think for me, you know, used to say basically of the front three start we're fine, and the front, if any of them drops out then we're in trouble. Now you're saying actually our best attacking performances this season have come when someone else has come in, but without be Minamino and Jota, and I'm just concerned that they don't seem to be really enjoying playing with each other anymore, I think. And, you know, I'm not saying they necessarily need to be broken up, because, you know, I'm not calling for anything, because, well, first of all, it's not my job. But secondly, you know, I'm only saying what my concerns are, or what it looks to me sort of from the outside is that, you know, the three of them used to be great players who were more than the sum of the parts. And now it feels like, as I say, they're not really enjoying playing each other anymore, and you know they're not feeding off each other, as Rob says, they're not really looking for the little 1-2s to sort of get through. It's all a bit individual, and it's all a bit like watching, you know, when you used to watch a team like Real Madrid and they've signed all these great forwards and they're all brilliant, but there's egos and they don't gel, and it's just relying on some brilliance from one of them. I feel like I'm watching that. I feel like I'm watching a sort of a Galactico front three rather than this well-oiled machine that we've had for the last 2 years, where they're the great individuals, but they're also getting so much kind of out of each other, really. And that's my concern. And as I say, you know, if I take all Paul's points about the knock-on effects, and Christian Walsh did a thread on Twitter last night as well, which is fair and interesting. But then I keep coming back to, well, yeah, but when Minamino played, we battered Palace 7-0. And when Jota come in, we walloped Ajax away at their ground. And these performances have happened when it's not been the three of them together, and when we didn't have Virgil van Dijk or Joe Gomez as well. And so I think it is a worry for me, and I think it's deeper than just saying, well, the fullbacks.
I think for me, Paul, I thought structurally we looked great. I thought we won it back high. I thought that you had Robertson. I do think that Trent is both being stifled and sitting a little closer than you normally would, and I think that that's fair. But for instance, there's three examples in the first half where Robertson himself should do better around the penalty area, and there's a fourth example when Firmino should just play him in and he'd have a one-on-one in that period of time. You know, I think there's blocks to this game. There's 15-minute blocks, but in the first hour, I think that, you know, I wasn't coming away from it feeling as though Liverpool are playing badly. I came back with it with the idea that Liverpool are being pretty woeful with the final ball or the final attempt around the Manchester United penalty area.
I don't know. Maybe I'm in a place now where just the only thing I can get to is that the best teams and the best teams that don't have the best 11s that dominate leagues. For example, what Liverpool have, the points totals we've got in the last two seasons haven't been through having the best 11 players. It's been that by having the best structure. The midfield are, you know, everyone says it. It's not a glamorous midfield, but it's a workhorse of a midfield. And we've completely disbanded it to focus on shoring up centre halves. Our best midfield for the last two seasons, of which we've got 99 points, what kind of ball was that we got, is Fabinho, Wijnaldum and Henderson. Well, two of them are centre-half now. So, as far as I'm concerned, midfield's the most important position on the pitch. And to make things right at centre-half, we've had to take the two best ones and play them there. That for me, is criminal. Because I think if you win the midfield, quite often you win the game. I know that's quite an antiquated...
No, it's not, and I don't disagree with you. In general, I'm with you 100% on this, Paul, and I'm looking back at the last however many games, and I'm with that 100%. But yesterday, it didn't feel like that was the problem for me. I've seen that be the problem. I just didn't think it was yesterday.
Well, I think it is the problem, Neil, because you're taking so much out of the game. Because Liverpool rely on their full-backs, which can't perform the way they want, because firstly, Jordan Henderson isn't splitting. The centre-halves can't split, and Jordan Henderson fills in as the third one because Jordan Henderson is one of them. That's a problem. So Thiago's now doing that role, but Thiago wants to be 20 yards further up the pitch, and he's now having to be the third centre-half and only have the ability to play balls from deep. Trent Alexander-Arnold can't be as liberal as he wants to be because, I've got Fabinho playing centre-half. You know, there's tons of things where there's just that little bit of doubt. I honestly think he'd have been better off with Reece Williams at centre-half.
I think Reece Williams doesn't play that game because of, effectively, Louis Barry. That I think if you're Jurgen Klopp and you look at what Louis Barry does to Reece Williams, Louis Barry, and you think to yourself, right, well, I can't put him against Martial and Rashford. Yeah, because look at what Louis Barry does to him. And I think that might have been a little bit different, but I think he looks at that and he goes, I can't have that. I cannot have that. And if you look at the end there, Liverpool, you know, the number, again, to talk about the structure, and again, I do take your point in the general and the whole, Liverpool catch Man United offside all the time in that game. The two play really well.
Play Milner. Play him out in central midfield, at centre-half. Play the player who's going to give you similar things and similar characteristics to Jordan Henderson. I think he's getting it wrong because of centre-half at the moment. And, you know, you can argue as much as you like. We haven't won a game in four. There's something certainly wrong. Yes, the front three and Bobby Firmino is a massive problem at the moment. I had a hook to my half-time. You can see it straight away with Firmino in his touch. That's the thing. We were talking at the West Brom game, Neil, about how I feel he relies on a crowd. He is a showman. He likes to put a show on. I feel he gets a bit of energy from the crowd and a bit of confidence from them. I feel like he likes to perform in the sort of larger arena. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure he's great in five-a-side with no crowd as well. But I do feel he gets that little bit of edge and that little bit of extra effort and touch and what and everything from a crowd. But I got pelters on this Anfield Rap main show 18 months ago for saying I don't think he's the same player. I don't think he's improved since then. If anything, he's got gradually worse. He's had spells where he's looked like Firmino. So around the time I was giving him pelters was about a year ago when we won the World Club Cup, and he was the star man in the final. But I would say he's off form more than he's on it. So there's a problem there as well. But I do think the wider picture is that we've been completely disjointed by taking all our best things away, which is our midfield, the selflessness of them, and how that enables the whole team to play. Through just disbanding the band,
I think as an overview of the four games, I think that's, you know, not many people are going to disagree with that, Paul. But I am inclined to agree with Neil's assessment. If you view yesterday in isolation, that doesn't feel to me so much the problem. Well, sometimes... Well, I'll tell you... Well, hang on, hear me out. Well, firstly, before we get carried away with Fabinho, Ronaldo and Henderson being our ultimate midfield, it was an ultimate midfield in certain circumstances. There are other games where people went, that's a bit blunt, and we need a Keita in there, or we could do a Chamberlain back. There were times we thought we're just not doing enough. So the argument that you need all three at all times, I'm not sure that necessarily holds. And we're putting in Thiago is arguably better than any of them, right? I mean, you know, you do a poll of our support. I know he hasn't done the job that's required in our midfield yet over a period of time. So I think yesterday in isolation, I liked our structure. And I think had the front three been sharper, or had we had a modicum of luck, we get a 1-0 at half time. And that's probably enough to finally get United out. And we might have ended up getting to beat them 2 in another circumstance. We're not great 2 seasons ago when we have to rely on Shaqiri coming off the bench to get us 2. We're frustrated for very, very long spells, even last season after our early lead. I thought Shaqiri and Thiago in the first half gave us an enormous amount. There are not a lot of pluses over the 4 games, but yesterday had pluses in it, quite a lot of them. The fact that if we can't have another centre half now, and if we can't, there's no point crying about it. It's just what it is. It isn't Reece Williams and Nat Phillips for me. And if it is to be a rotation of Jordan Henderson, Joel Matip and Fabinho, well, so be it, because we actually do have some good midfielders and we could find the midfield amongst the others. We cannot find another defence. So taking the glasses half full for a minute, I think that was a performance from which we can build on. I didn't think you could say the same about the other three. Neil's right in that it peters out. But Firmino, yes, he's not good. But there's two of the keyest moments in the second half. He's there at the centre of Andy Robbo whips a ball in, which he's inches away from connecting with. And he does make a very firm effort getting it. The other one is where he tees up Salah, who takes a touch too many and then drags his shot a bit. I think if you're watching Liverpool for the first time this season yesterday, I don't think you're seeing any major problems.
On that, John, Rob's not seeing any major problems. It was caveated, and that's fine. But one of the things there's two parts to this. One is the game breaking goals and who they're coming from. It was interesting post match. Henderson says everyone needs to chip in, as if he's trying to take the pressure off them a little bit. And I think that there is a line here about missing Van Dijk and possibly to an extent Matip from set pieces and to be a threat from them. The other thing is the way in which Liverpool do peter out in the match last half an hour. Liverpool, you know, there isn't a meaningful chance from the Reds. And I think both of those things are making it harder and harder for Liverpool at this stage of the game.
They are, yeah. And I can't really figure out why that is, because I don't think it's a fitness thing. Like, I don't think we look like we're necessarily tiring faster than anyone else. You know, we've always, you know, thought of ourselves as one of the fittest teams in the league, and I think that's probably still the case. I don't think, look, you know, all the stats show that we're not quite playing at the same intensity, but I'm talking
about... But no one is.
Yeah, so I'm talking about relative to the opposition. So I don't think we're tiring. It's more seemingly that we're running out of ideas, or maybe just running out of belief a little bit. You wonder whether we're sort of getting to 60 and they're thinking, oh, here we go again. This is another one of these where we're sort of not going to score, you know. And that's,
yeah, I agree with that.
That's sort of a bit of a worry, really, in that, you know, and then it just all gets a bit kind of hopeful, really, and it all gets a bit, you know, this. I think most of the games recently, I thought we've started pretty well. You know, you go all the way back to West Brom, we go 1-0 up in no time, we're doing okay, and... You know, I thought Newcastle was sort of started off all right as well, and you think, you know, you're not quite creating the good chances, and then the other team's confidence grow a bit, and you saw that with Manchester United as well, and they're like, well, we can have a bit of a go ourselves here, and it's just creating those quality of chances, really, and just giving the opposition enough to worry about. And I think, you know, you scare teams by what you do during the game rather than what you've done in the past, really. You know, teams can go onto the pitch a little bit worried about you, but they'll soon sort of change their mind if the evidence in front of them sort of isn't there, because they're experienced and, you know, sort of how football works. And so I just think generally we're sort of, you know, we're huffing and puffing a little bit too much, and it's just all a bit kind of, you know, there's purpose, but not, you know, enough kind of sparkle or ideas to go alongside it, and then opposition are like, oh, that's all right, this, you know what I mean, this is a bit easier than we thought it was going to be, then they might have a little bit of go themselves, you know, and that's kind of what we're seeing, really. And so I think there's they've run out of the ability to sort of work it out for themselves. I think, you know, we could talk about the subs, and I'm sure we'll come on to talk about, you know, could Jürgen have done anything differently from the bench or done things earlier and stuff like that. But this used to be a team who was great at working it out, you know, so they'd work out what the opposition were doing and work out where the holes were and try something and it worked and they'd do it again and you'd see them and they would and there seems to be a less of that, really. It's more like, I don't know, a bit less thinking, I suppose, or a bit less kind of, as I say, like thinking for themselves, or a bit less, you know, of that. I don't know, but it's just, it feels like teams are defending well against us, but they're not having to defend out the skin against us, I wouldn't say.
And that's relatively fair from John Robb. I think in general, I think the standard of attacking across the whole division's dropped markedly. I think the standard of play has dropped markedly, and it's the thing that no one wants to say out loud. I'm very much enjoying Sky not talking the product down whilst repeatedly referring to games as not having been the best. At some point somebody might put two and two together on that, but we'll give them a bit of time, they'll get there eventually. I think that in general that is a bit of a problem. But for Liverpool, you know, I've looked at it, and they don't create a major significant chance past the 65-minute mark in any of the last four games. Not one. I've gone through all four of them. They don't create one. They don't create one of any decent value. Not one. There's the late Firmino header against West Brom, but even that, ultimately, when you look back at it, the keeper probably should save it. It's a good save, but he should save it. Apart from that, there's not the idea that the door's being kicked in from a Liverpool point of view late in these matches. If anything, it's the opposite. And yesterday, United have a couple of pretty good chances last 20.
No, that is the thing. And you... what plays into that kind of thing? I think John's saying lack of confidence, lack of belief. So each game that passes, it's only going to become likelier in a certain sense until something gives. I mean, we have come through a Christmas period. We've come through a period where I think fitness level, as John said, it's not actual, like they're suddenly less fit, doing less training or whatever. But say the front three, I think, have started all of the last four games, haven't they? More or less. Yeah, I'm going to guess that they have.
Yeah.
Right. They're entitled to not be peaking on 75 minutes, but we haven't like pulled one out and be able to put Mane in late, say, against Newcastle because Jota's been there. I mean, you could argue maybe the manager should have trusted Minamino sooner, and therefore we would have had Salah coming off the bench as devastatingly was against Palace. Things like that play into that, and I think the manager's got to have to think about that. I think the danger is when you're in a hole, the feeling is, I think the general managerial instinct is, play your best, just play your best 11. Just play your best 11. Even if they're not fit, just play your best 11. It's a bit like, you know, when you know, you've lost a key league game and you've got a meaningless cup game, but you put your full side out because you need to get them to get the win to get confidence back. But I think there's a point to which you've got to, and the manager may have to dig deep into his own set of decision-making courage and go, you know what? Against Burnley in the week, I know we're going to come on to discuss the side, maybe I've got to pull two of them out with a view to having two of them come on 60. You know, and that could just be the shake-up we need, that kind of thing.
Definitely, Robert, I must agree with you on that one. Is the one thing that we did have early on in the season was the ability to change it from the bench. I remember that used to be something that Rodgers used to go on about an awful lot, is that, you know, it's this 11 or nothing, really. And when he started to get the odd option on the bench, he was like, well, now I've got this to turn to, you know, and this is, we can change this, and this in one move, and all of a sudden we're a different team. Tactically, we can go from this to this or whatever. I think that's the big uplift with Jota off the bench. I think if we have Jota off the bench, I think we might win. You know, I think in a game like Manchester United, this is the thing I would defend the manager on. He's put the best 11 available to him on the pitch. So, Dace's in places. You've got your best 11 there, ready to go. And yet you've found a system out of that. And I sort of get that's why he's done what he's done. Completely sympathise with it. I suppose when it's so glaringly obvious that one of your aces isn't performing all that well, then that's a bit where you want to look to your bench. And ideally, it would have been Jota for Firmino on 52 minutes. But, you know, I may not have even given him that long. But I think he's got to be able to see it's not working for Bobby here today. Palace, Minamino's great. It's the last time we see him. I don't quite understand that. And like he has had a difficult start, but Firmino's having a really difficult day. let's back him, because the one thing Minamino can do is he can slot a ball. Like, he's a good finisher. So these chances...
Goal against Arsenal in the Community Shield, Paul.
Yeah, but he's ruthless in front of goal, Minamino. I think the Origi one later on, I sort of got it, because I felt we needed a bit of height. We needed a bit of raw, something a bit rawer than Minamino, who's a bit craftier. But I'd have done Minamino on 50. I still don't understand why he hasn't done that. But you can say, I can sit there and go, all right, Jota and Minamino, the gap in quality is massive. But the performance Firmino's putting in, I think Minamino would have surpassed it, and he's livelier in front of goal. The way Firmino's hitting the ball in front of goal is mind blowing. So they're like passbacks. I don't quite understand how a player of that ability is doing what he's doing. Whereas I think some of the chances, if they would have felt to Minamino, it's more 50-50.
It wasn't just Firmino, I have to say, though, and you're absolutely right, though. I mean, the one that absolutely crucified me for its lack of quality in a finish, if you like, was, and Andy Robbo is put in down the left at one point, and you think, you know, you're not going to definitely score, but you're going to slide a very decent ball across the six-yard box, and we're going to be in an XG kind of position of maybe 30-40%. And he just scuffs it. I mean, it's not even hit with any power. It's just like he kicks the turf. I don't know what he does. You think, I've not seen him do that. Salah comes on to a rebound, I think, after someone's had a dig. Is it Firmino? And he just absolutely, it's a pathetic lash at the ball and goes miles over. For, as you said, Firmino's two efforts that are near the target. They're just woeful. That plays into me as to a bit of a lack of confidence problem coming into play. Because I think aside from that, the rest of it was quietly admirable. You know, there's a lot of nice things went on in that football match. I loved Shaqiri's performance. I loved, you know, until he tired, obviously. I loved Thiago's till he tired. In fact, I think Thiago, Neil, quite well, to have my last word on this, I think he might have had our last, if you can call it a chance, where he skips past a guy or two and then bends one, and De Gea makes quite a good save.
He has another fucking daft shot after that.
Does he after? Yeah. Okay, we won't count the second one, though.
No.
But the first one was a worthwhile effort. Actually, you know, he looks...
He's annoyed. No, it's more that he's annoyed with Wijnaldum, because Wijnaldum puts air on the ball and he doesn't understand why he wants Wijnaldum to roll it back to him. And Wijnaldum, it ends up being a bit of a mad height, and that's the one that he blazes, whereas the one before he strikes well.
Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, you know, go round and round the houses on this. Yes, the front three aren't firing. I think all we can do is start rotating and giving ourselves options.
A good, strong crucifixion game there from Rob. John, hope you noticed as we went right the way through. I want to talk about the positives.
What do you mean?
Well, you referred to the fact that the one that crucified you. There's not enough people getting crucified. as far as I'm concerned. Well, that's what you said. That was literally the phrase that you used a minute ago was...
Sorry.
Was it's all right. No, I'm fine with it. I mean, my favourite one of them will always be when Alan Stubbs referred to Milan Baroš's horror tackle in the derby, which he got sent off for. We went on and won the game, but after the match, when interviewed, Alan Stubbs said, if that had been me, I'd crucify myself, which begs a number of questions as to what he's doing with his other arm. But John, putting that to one side, there are positives, I think, and I think there are positives. If they are and do have those concerns that Paul mentions with reference to what's happening at centre-half, genuinely, I feel as though, you know, the goalkeeper obviously has a fair bit to do, but also in general just plays well. I think the two centre-halves play ever so well. All the offsides show that that's a defensive line that was working. It would be nice if linesmen put the flag up a bit quicker at times. And I think, as Rob's saying, in all facets of the game, defensively included, obviously, I think Thiago Alcantara plays ever so well. And even amongst there, I think Trent Arnold actually defends really well, and I think he is doing that in general, and it's being overlooked because we're not getting everything we'd like from him going forward. But I think as a defensive unit, Liverpool can come off the pitch and be pretty happy with coming up against the United side that's got a big bold plan as to how it's going to score.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think, you know, Trent is, you know, winning his battles at the moment sort of best he can, and, you know, if he's gone a little bit back to basics because of the situation, but also because his form hasn't been the best, then you can sort of understand it. It's sort of, you know, it's what footballers do, isn't there? And I thought in terms of a, you know, if you get it to Trent Alexander-Arnold for a second and you forget about everything you know he can do and just assess his performance yesterday as a right-back, I thought he did well. And as you say, it's coming up against, you know, players who've targeted him before. It's coming up against, you know, attacking threats who look to start on that side and cut in. And, you know, he deals
with Martial, Rashford and Fernandes over the course of the 90 minutes, John.
Yeah, with not a huge amount of help either, because especially sort of second half, because it was sort of Shaqiri was in front of him, he was tiring as well. So there was times when he could have done with a bit of help, but he got on with it okay. The two lads at the back, you know, if you analyse it, you know, from a point of view of who they are and what they're doing, and forget about the decisions that have been made to sort of get them there, did great. And I think, you know, Henderson looked much better, which isn't a big shock, do you know what I mean? He's had more time to think about the fact that the idea of him as centre half, he's had more time to probably, you know, do a bit with Fab in training. He'd swap sides to something that he looked like he felt more comfortable with, you know. And you saw, you know, some good passing from him, albeit you'd like to see it a bit further up the pitch. But again, assessing him just as a centre half, I thought he did great, and I thought his defensive work was good, and I thought the two of them, you know, harried well, you know, and looked like, you know, they knew what they were doing as well. So it wasn't just kind of like, oh, you know, doing their best or mucking in. It was, you know, it was fine. And as you say, that the line was generally good, which could be another thing where you're swapping things around, you know, that can go, you know, you see that from the number of offsides. And I think all three of them, you know, in the circumstances, but even forgetting about the circumstances, just analysing the performances for what they were, all did really well. And the goalkeeper's just great, you know, isn't he? We're lucky to have him, and you don't really want to talk about him too much. You know, you'd rather he had quiet days, certainly at Anfield, but it's his bravery as well, isn't it? You know, there's the one from Rashford, which I think it gets given offside, doesn't it? But he doesn't know that. He's just got to sort of throw himself in there and command the situation, and that's what he does. He's a brilliant goalkeeper, and we're lucky to have him.
I think you know, I've been reasonably negative so far. That the three people you can be positive about is Henderson, Fabinho and Alisson. I think John's absolutely right. The one that is eventually given offside is the save from Pogba is a great save, comfortable height. But his bravery in getting to that ball, it's only moments later, isn't it, for the offside. Yeah. We are truly, truly blessed to have that goalkeeper. But the person I really want to sort of accentuate the positive about is Fabinho. I mean, what a footballer he is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would prefer to see him in midfield.
Of course.
You know, that. But I'm not sure in this moment there's a centre-half in the world I'd swap him for. You know, I think in terms of giving us everything you want on the ball, as well as recovery off it. What he does with Rashford in that, when Rashford's through, is there was a thing last year where Van Dijk gives his son, where they're one-on-one. It's aesthetically it doesn't look the same, but it's a similar sort of situation where you've just got to choose your moment to come across, and Fabinho does it extremely well. He's brilliant at last-ditch stuff. He's a central midfielder, and yes, he has played right back in his career. But what a job he is doing there. I don't want to see him there. I can't make that clearer. But I understand that in a break glass moment, he is our fourth choice centre-half or whatnot.
I think Klopp will feel that the key thing that he came out of that game is he discovered possibly how to solve the centre-half crisis without the privilege of getting a quality new centre-half in. But also, just as a sort of, you know, as a mental exercise, just imagine nothing had happened to Van Dijk and Gomez, and we were sort of trundling along with that solidity as usual, and we'd suffered injuries to Fabinho and Henderson. Would we be as righty off of the season as I think we've sort of subconsciously become? Because I think, I mean, we remember in our best phase of last season, I think in terms of our performance levels, we're without Fabinho, remember. I think Jordan steps back into the sixth position and people are cynical about it, and he actually arguably outperforms Fabinho. Fabinho, when he comes back in last season, isn't that great for a good month or so. It takes him a while to readjust. I just wonder if we can keep the other... I mean, this relies on getting other people fit. There's a pool. I mean, Wijnaldum is a fixture, Thiago is a fixture, and then you sort of rotate around and form around Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Curtis Jones, or 4-2-3-1s. I think if we can take one major plus, I just think finding a defence again may just be the bedrock of how we rebuild this season.
I've agreed with you to an extent. I'm not quite prepared to sort of write off this season yet, and I think it's important that the squad don't either. And I think there is still a lot to play for, and I think, although, you know, we've made the next few games much bigger for ourselves, like, I think we've got to beat well, we definitely got to beat Man City, and I would argue we've got to beat Spurs as well now, and we've certainly got to beat bloody Burnley. But I think, you know, we've made these games bigger for ourselves now, but we're well capable of going on a run, sort of 6-7, you know, games, you know, on the spin, winning them all, because we know we can do that. Yeah, there hasn't been huge amounts of that from anyone this season, but I think, you know, if anyone can do it, it is us. And I think especially with, you know, I gathered Joel Matip's back in full training today, so that will allow us to see, well, how much of it is down to the fact that we're playing, you know, having to sort of make do, you know, if we can, you know, him and Fabinho looked a really good partnership. Yet it's not ideal in terms of it's just them two, and we'd love to see Fabinho back in midfield, but at least it allows us to see Henderson back there. And so I think, you know, I don't want to, you know, and but when I'm going to say us, I mean more the squad, really, because their mindset's the most important thing. We can't really do anything at the moment, can we? You know what I mean? We're sort of sat at home, as Paul says, trying not to swear in front of kids too much. But I think for the players and manager, you'd hope that they still believe there's a lot to play for this season, and there's still a lot to do, and if they can get it right, they can go on a run, and we can be sort of putting the pressure on, and you know, just the Champions League as well there, that, you know, if we can get into a bit of form, you know, we're still a major player in. And so I think there is a lot to play for, and I just don't want the players to feel sort of too sorry for themselves, really, or too downbeat, or too kind of, you know, because it's been tough on them, and I know it's tough for everyone, but you know, it must be hard for them doing everything what they did last season, and that we haven't had this big sort of moment where, you know, all the fans are back in and we get to sort of celebrate it. And there must be a little bit of, for them, maybe more so than other squads, a bit like, oh, what are we doing? What are we all doing this for? Just a little bit sort of in the back of their mind, really. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that, but we need to try not to.
John, do you feel as though we've, in this post-lockdown sort of world, the football, the way in which it's changed, for whatever reason, it has changed. You know, there was times yesterday it was driving me mad. We weren't close enough to Fernandes. We played Shaqiri yesterday in midfield, which I think is really interesting in that. Do you think we're adapting well enough? Because the fitness is down, the intensity is down, whether or not because of pre-seasons or fans or both, whatever it is, whatever the thing is that's around that. Do you think we've adapted to it well enough yet? Do you think we're on the road to adapting to it better? You know, put the centre-half issue to one side insofar as we can. You know, I feel as though we have suffered with it a fair bit, and I think we've suffered with it in every sense, if you know what I mean. I think, you know, we've got our assistant manager on record repeatedly saying things like, our intensity is our identity.
Yeah.
And we're dealing in a time where everything is noticeably less intense every single match. And that one against Manchester United yesterday was a really, really good example of it.
Yeah, I don't think we are dealing with it that well. But then I caveat that by saying, I understand it. And I think they are all human beings. And I think they all just look a bit sad, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
and
no,
they all
you
look a bit down. And I think when you've got a manager who's such a huge personality, and he's been the driving force behind all of this, and all our great moments of the last 2 years have come from him. And when we came into the football club, we were so flat, and he raised everyone, and he did that. And Barcelona doesn't happen without him, and without him, what he's saying to the players, and all of that. But the problem is, when you've got that big charismatic leader, and at the moment he looks like he's fed up, then it's sort of, you know, it has a bit of a knock-on effect, really. And I think it's funny with football generally, and I've got to be a little bit careful, I think, because you don't want to seem like, you know, you're just moaning because we're not winning. But it is starting to look more and more like it's just the 11 fellas kicking the ball about at the moment. And I think it's feeling a bit like that for them as well, to be honest with you. And I think for Jürgen, and I think for a lot of them are bought into this idea that it's much more than that. It's about identity. It's about collective strength. It's about what we do together. It's about, you know, football at its best is, you know, is the best of humanity in a way, really. And we're just not sort of getting to experience that, really. And I think for a lot of them are just sort of trudging on, and they're being professional, and they're putting it in. But it's funny when people say about putting in 100%, and I think they are putting in 100%, but 100% of what they have to give at that moment is different to putting in 100%
of 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. And so it's a funny one, really. So it's hard, and I don't even know whether I'm explaining myself as well as I'd like to. I guess what I'm saying is, I just want to give them all a big hug.
It's why Paul, I'd, you know,
no, I'll get Paul to do it. He's better than me.
Yeah, Paul. It's why Paul, I think I'd like to give them all a big hug as well, but you know, COVID restrictions. But it's why Paul, I, I'm not surprised. It wouldn't surprise me to see him commit to either Shaqiri or something very Shaqiri-ish for a period of time, off the basis of the fact that let's just have sparks on the pitch wherever we can. And when Shaqiri was doing well, which I think was in the first 15 minutes of both halves, was to me where he felt like he was liveliest before the pace got a little bit difficult, I think it's fair to say. I think he offered that. He offered this idea of something a bit different, something a bit quick, something a bit unlikely, going in a different direction. And I thought he got everyone looking and feeling a bit brighter.
He's the footballer at the moment that I could commit most to, I would say, Shaqiri. So I put on, I can't remember what game it was, but I basically said if Shaqiri's fit, he's got to play on Twitter. And so the part of the problem is it's when he's fit, you know, and that is something that's held him back.
How fit?
How fit? Yeah, that is a really fair point. But if he can go against Thursday, I would play him. I have a sneaking suspicion that you're going to see that position will be shared between him and Oxlade-Chamberlain moving forward. I personally would just commit to Shaqiri. But that's I wouldn't be surprised if Thursday night, Burnley, it's Oxlade-Chamberlain in for Shaqiri. Or, you know, there's a shape change or whatnot. But he's the footballer for me that would give me the most encouragement that he could do an almost Coutinho-like job in terms of the ball forced him on the edge of the box. And he just, it's not happening for us on the day, but he's just killed one in from 25 yards. And there was periods yesterday with him in and around the box where I just thought things were about to happen. And the creativity of him and Thiago, even if your front three are off the boil somewhat, which evidently they are, them two can make things happen. So that would be a positive that I'd like to take, is that Shaqiri's fit. He always makes things happen quite often from the bench. But he's one that I would like to commit to for this period. I mean, we've got some fixtures coming up as well, and that's the other thing. Between now and the 6th of January, we've got to go. We play Man United, Tottenham, and Manchester City. So
and West Ham. West Ham will be no.
It'll be no battle of laughs. No, no, you're absolutely right. So, and then it's Leicester after that as well. So
yeah, and then Leipzig.
Yeah, well, the league is currently my only thought. But I would say either by the time that game against Manchester City finishes, you're going to know whether you're in the title race or not. Or the title race come the evening of the 6th of January will be alive, and it will be a proper title race. Liverpool have got a month really to sort the shit out, and it has to start on Thursday night. And I would be building round players like Shaqiri to sort said shit out.
The other thing, Rob, and I've deliberately held off until now, is I don't know, I feel as though these players at times, and I am thinking about two of the front three especially, could just do with a little bit more protection from the officials. I think both Mane and Salah now, it is frustrating. You've got Maguire at one point yesterday, has got another footballer who's got his hands around Mo Salah's neck. And, I think there's a really strong argument now that someone, whether it's the manager, whether it's the captain, could just do with sort of saying post-match, literally saying, we need opposition players to stop grabbing our footballers by the neck. Please, stop grabbing them by the neck. Grab them anywhere else you like. Stop grabbing them by the neck. Because it's every single game at the minute, there's some sort of instance where some grok has got one of our two best players by the fucking neck.
Yeah, I mean, the refereeing we're seeing recently has just been fucking unbelievable, quite frankly, some of it. I mean, I know you notice it when it goes against you, but boy, I've noticed it. And that phenomenon you've just described is one of the more insane aspects, it not being picked up, not just by the referee on the pitch, but especially by the VAR. I do think, and I know Klopp addressed this in the week ago, he said, you know, I am not a manager who will ever tell players to go to ground. But I look at the way Salah and Mane are playing, especially Salah, really, and I think, well, if you're not going to be doing the 1-2 kind of things, and Bobby's not making himself available for you the way he may have once upon a time, and you want to run at people and dribble past three, then fucking throw yourself at them. Force the contact, because the contact is there to be had. He's being too honest, in a sense, and I know this is the oldest one in the book, a player needs to be a bit more street smart. But he seems to have, I don't know, for some other reason, to have eliminated those street smarts from his game, and it's bizarre. bizarre thing to be criticising a man for being decent and honest. But I do feel like he could have done himself a number of favours with this. But not just broadly on the going back to the refereeing in general. Some of it was a bit mind-blowing. The most stunning example, I think we can't say this enough, is the referee blowing up with 5 or 6 seconds left.
Yep.
When Sadio Mane is being put clean away by Fabinho. Now, I don't know, you can always imagine that he was actually one-on-one with the keeper, whether he would have done that. I think he'd have got a shot away. It was a ridiculous piece of refereeing. You never see a referee blow early, ever. But he chose to blow early when a man was clean through on goal. Stunning. I mean, they mentioned it at half-time briefly, but I think the referee majorly needs to haul him to account for that.
I think that's a disgrace and deserves a little bit more talking about, to be honest.
Yeah.
The fucking George Sefton says it every game. It's a minimum of 1 minute. To blow early is criminal. The fact we threw on goal, you can see Tierney's blowing anyway, and he's made that decision. But what's he fucking blowing early for? It's a minimum anyway.
And they've just took ages over a goal kick.
Liverpool at the time he's got his whistle, are a pass away from breaking them behind Manchester United. You know how in his mind he's gone, this is the time to blow, is beyond me, because he's made that decision. He's looked at his watch with 10 seconds left. You know, it's only fucking 60 in a minute anyway, so I don't understand his thought process there. And the fact that it was getting, you know, sort of poo-pooed in the studio was a bit baffling for me. Well, really. Liverpool have got in behind Manchester United one-on-one pretty much for the first time all game. What happens next in that scenario is a goal, Maguire or whoever it is, brings Mane down.
De Gea?
Or De Gea. Or a great save or whatever. You know, Liverpool are through. There's no way he should be held to account for it. Rob's absolutely right. I don't think he should ref the next game for blowing that. I really don't. I think he was absolutely dreadful. Anyway, Tierney, the standard of refereeing in this country for the best league in the world is appalling.
Have you seen what he gives Shaqiri a yellow card for in the second half as well? Don't think he touches the man. It's bizarre. It was all the bits he was doing. I mean, that the one we're highlighting is the worst of it. It was lots of that sort of shit going on. And as Neil says, let's look at the referee as a composite thing, including the VAR. In the last four games, we've had nothing. I mean, Klopp made this point in his pre-match, talking about people with arms around Mane's neck. You've said net around neck. And is it Newcastle? A goalkeeper with his arm around his thigh when he's about to score. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I don't like to say, especially in a crisis, it's a game of small margins, we've been a bit unlucky. But we have been a bit unlucky. We have thoroughly dominated the four football matches we haven't won. And there's a lot of shite come out from Man United because they've got to do it, I suppose. I suppose if we were there, we might try this stunt again. That they somehow only increased the belief in themselves as title contenders. Now, you know, they may go on to become a better team as a result of surviving Anfield. But you know what, if you're watching these teams, Liverpool are still looking like a team that can go on, as John said, to go on a run, to be the Liverpool they can be. United still haven't hit a height which suggests that they could go on to be a really, really big team, to my mind.
There's only one title contender in Manchester, and it fucking isn't there.
Yeah, of course.
The evidence I want to see next to that.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, it's theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe. You can download the app. There's all the excellent video stuff on there. I know Gareth's working on something at the minute for the moment. That sounds like it'll be really cool. And there's lots of other little bits and pieces around the Anfield Wrap to subscribe, including breaking this game down into great detail on the review, which I'm doing immediately after this and looking forward to that as well. We'll get stuck into more and more on the subs under the circumstances too. So it's theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe for all of that. And you can find the app on the App Store. And that's the best way to get all the writing. And you get free tokens as well if you want to sample things for the first time and have a little look at what we're all about behind the paywall on all these other shows that we do. And there'll be Weekender as well later on this week after the Burnley game. So we need to preview Burnley briefly, gentlemen. And John Gibbons, pick me a Burnley team. Make it sweet.
I'd pay Chris Wood up front.
Very good. Yeah,
and I'm glad you laughed early because I'm running out of Burnley players. I'm only joking. Ashley
Matt Lowton.
Yeah, I bought him at the weekend, didn't I? For me. Anyway, getting into fancy football there. It's a different show. I'd I mean, Joe Matt is back in full training today, what Jürgen said. So I think he obviously comes in. He should be fine to play. And then that pushes Henderson up. I think I dropped Wijnaldum out. I don't think Wijnaldum's been great last sort of 2-3 weeks. And I think, you know, he's had a good season. And I don't know whether he's tiring or whether it's all the other stuff that's going on. I don't know. But you know, I think he could do with a Thursday off. So I'd be looking to push Henderson into midfield. And I'd be tempted to just go with that because, you know, in terms of Paul's theory, was not, you know, and other people's theory as well, that, you know, how much, you know, the biggest issue with the defensive side is how much you miss them on field. I'd be tempted to see how much difference it makes for us just having, you know, an actual centre-half on there and Henderson back in midfield and how much that gives us, really. And we've got the FA Cup game to rotate a little bit more, so we'll be probably looking to use the likes of Minamino, Milner, more in that, really. So I think, you know, I'd be tempted to just do one change and see how much of a difference that makes, really, getting Matip back in there. Henderson in midfield. I'd go again with Shaqiri because I sort of think you've got it with a bit with the Shaqiri. You've got to make hay while the sun shines, really, because we could lose him again in a couple of weeks for 2 months for reasons we don't really understand. And so I'd be throwing him in again. So I'd just be one change, Neil.
Any advances on one change? Paul?
I think it'll be quite a bit different. I imagine one of the fullbacks will be replaced by Milner. I wouldn't be surprised if one of Henderson or Fabinho is replaced by Matip and finds themselves getting a bit of a break, because I think you might see the one who gets a break play against United. Hopefully Matip can go twice and then the other one gets a break against United. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain will play almost certainly, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of Origi or Minamino starts for one of the front three.
Okay, so Paul's gone well in advance of John. Rob, where are you ending up?
I think I'm nearer Paul's. I think there will be significant changes. I think the key game in terms of settling Klopp's mind to what he wants to do here, because there's a lot of games coming thick and fast, it's 2 a week for a while, is how he treats this United game. I suspect he will have wrecked his head with it, in as much as I think he won't go, I'm not going to play a sub-league cup team. So I'm going to treat, the easiest thing for me to do is to treat it as the same importance as Burnley, Tottenham or Brighton. And therefore just go, I've just got 2 games a week and I've got to make 4 changes every game. So I'd be difficult to know which 4 he'd make, but I think he can make 3 to 4 for this one. And then I don't think, if anyone thinks he's going to play, Nico Reese, Nat Phillips and Tsimikas against United, I think they'll be very surprised. I think he'll go strong against United, obviously strong against Tottenham.
I'd be surprised and delighted if he could play Tsimikas against United.
Yeah, I think Tsimikas is nearly ready. I'm not sure. The more interesting name who's nearly ready, he hinted at, and I think he could be just about for United, would be Naby Keita, because that would be a way of making the changes you want while still keeping some quality level. I think Minamino could come in for Firmino, and I agree with Paul about Milner coming in against Burnley. Obviously, if Matip's fit, I think he will come in, and I think you could look at Henderson, Thiago and Shaqiri being the midfield. I agree with John, you do want to use him while he's hot.
I think if we see Keita, you know, it'll only be for that one, and then he'll be missing for 4 weeks. So,
well, Klopp did talk about the injury, the recent one. He said he sort of semi-blamed them. He said, we brought him back very quickly and he picked up an associated injury. So they've been working quite hard. Don't give me a cynical face, Paul. They've been working quite hard on making sure he's defo going to be fit. Look, we can be nasty about players losing fitness like Shaqiri or Keita, but it doesn't matter. We still could use these players because they're quite good footballers when they're available. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, by the way, has been fit for a while but has not contributed. So I'm not looking forward to seeing him back on the pitch. No, well,
it's a few men in the room, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Paul Senior, cynical face. Rob Gutman's many crucifixions. John Gibbons has managed to get through this show without, he's got his own Matthew Lawton question and problems to deal with as Liverpool face Burnley this week.
Judgmental Neil.
Very much so. Listen, also, if you subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, you can listen to the award-winning Gutter Show. It's won all the awards. It's got a Tony. It's got 2 Oscars. It's a relentless experience and one that you can listen out for as well. hosted by Mr. Rob Gutman. Thank you very much to him today, to John and to Paul. It was hugely frustrating against Manchester United. There is an old line that draws tell you are all about what you do next, and that's where you find out what they meant. Liverpool have got to beat Burnley. There's no hiding from that. See you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.